Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla Lonis, and I'm the Online Engagement Director here at Trinity. And this week, I am sitting down with Libby, and we're going to chat about lament. And so if you don't know what lament is, that's actually where we're going to start. So just chatting about what is lament and what does it look like to sort of pray through difficult times. So Libby, thank you for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what would you say? How would you sort of define lament?
Well, this isn't a theological answer. There's not a lot of big words in it. But to me, it's a fully honest exchange with God. You know, being honest about what's difficult and bringing it to Him. But also then in the end, remembering who He is and so that you can trust Him and leave it with Him. I think, you know, honesty is really, I mean, what lament is, because everybody's got something that's hard, right? And, you know, if you can't bring it to God, who can you bring it to, right?
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think for me, when I think about, like, what lament is, it's really kind of a wrestling, right? Like, it's a, like you said, it's that honesty, but it's an honesty within this paradigm of, like, life sucks and God is good. And, like, how do we bring those two things together?
Yeah. And recognizing that those two things can be true at the same time. Because it's the grander plan is bigger than any of us, right? Not just those of us who are present here, but, like, across time and space, right? It's a bigger, bigger plan. We know we don't know. That's all we know, right? We don't have to understand, right, to know that we can trust Him.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's perfectly clear all the time, is that He is trustworthy and faithful. And so, I mean, we spoke about this before, but, you know, it's just a deep relationship with God, right? If we, and that would be the same with a relationship with anyone, right? A friend, right? Somebody that we trust. You know, our relationship grows deeper as we go through difficult things together and we share those achings in our heart and those struggles, right? Trusting that person, right? The relationship grows deeper. So it's very important for us to bring those things to God, right? To show God our heart for Him and that we see Him for who He is, right? As that faithful, loving Father, right? And that's a good exercise for us to remind ourselves that we know who He is. You know, because we can forget sometimes, you know.
And as you sort of said, lament, I think, typically has at least sort of three parts to it. So there's this idea of protest, of saying, God, this is not fair. God, this is not okay. I don't like this thing. And then moving into a sort of petition or asking God, okay, so God, like, this isn't fair. What are we going to do about it? God, come and, like, do a thing. And then, as you said, ending in praise or trust and recognizing, God is who God says He is. And so, like, we can leave it in God's hands.
And there's power in that, right? There's energy in that. Like, I think right now, you know, there's a lot of people who are struggling right now and feeling, you know, really like it's a super dark, heavy thing and that they're dealing with and they can't, you know, come through it. But, you know, before despair, you know, get in there and, you know, tell God how it is you're feeling. And when you leave it with Him, the weight of it lifts enough that you can do something about it. You know, like if we just complain and we just wallow, it depletes our energy and it makes us impotent. And that just, you know, then that's just a spiral, right? But when we come to God with it, it changes things, right?
So in your own life, what role has lament played in your sort of spiritual life?
Honestly, it's sort of always been there. And I didn't, I mean, I couldn't name it. But I suffered the loss of my father at a really early age, seven. And a lot of really well-meaning people said a lot of really stupid things to me about God. That made me really angry at God. I remember people telling me, Jesus, you know, Jesus took your father home. And I was like, this is home. am home.
Yeah.
And I remember shaking my fist and saying, you know, Jesus, what's the deal? Like, you are up there. You're fine. You have your father. Why are you going to take my father? Having all these arguments. But then also knowing that God loves me too.
Right.
So it's a wrestling. There's been a wrestling with that my whole life, right? Knowing that suffering is happening and God is in it. You know, not causing it.
No.
But in it with me, right? And I have to say, like, through that whole time growing up without my dad, I always had this sense that I wasn't alone, right? And I've really embraced the idea of God as father, right? And I was still mad. All that was true, all at the same time, you know? Yeah. But I was still really angry, you know? But, you know, God comes through and God provides. And I was taken care of, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I met my husband, I met my father-in-law, who is an amazing man, and, you know, and I have a dad now, that like a dad that I can wrap my arms around and hug, too, you know? And, but I never saw that coming. That was forever away.
Sure,
as a little kid.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I would say a sort of similar thing, that like before I even knew the word lament, that it just sort of is part of, like you said, it's part of having a relationship with anyone.
Yeah.
Right? And so naturally, I think it becomes part of our relationship with God. Yeah, and so I can remember, like, I'm a journaler. I write things down. And so, like, I can go back and look through my, like, teenage journals at, like, all of the, like, angry ramblings at God and, like, all of these, like terrible poetry and, like, all of these things. It's like, I am not okay right now, God. Yeah. And, like, what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome that you have that. I did that, but I don't have it. I wish I did. I'd love to go back and see.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting for me to think about, like, yeah, that this isn't something that is modeled super well in churches, right? It's something that we've both said sort of came naturally to us. But at a certain point, we sort of come to realize, oh, well, nobody else around me is doing this. Right? And then it becomes this like weird, what do I do with it sort of thing.
Yeah. It's like a polite thing where we behave in front of each other and then nobody thinks anybody does. You know what I mean? Like it creates this false idea that it's totally normal to just be happy all the time. We should always be happy all the time. Like that's weird.
Yeah.
Right? That's not normal. Yeah. I mean, we have a really hard time, I think. I mean, even as society, right? I think there was this book I was reading a few months ago and I was just like, aha, right? Where this author was just talking about in society now, like we're not allowed to be sad. Yeah. We've lost the rhythms of emotion where there's a season for sadness. There's a time for that and to go through it, not avoid it, not pretend it's not there, right? Yeah. But now I think, you know, I think a lot of the cause for depression and stuff with everybody is that we don't get to be sad without it being like it's wrong to be sad. Like, I can't think of anything more right than to be sad. When something is wrong, you can be sad.
Yeah.
You know, and you can know that, you know, God has a plan and that God has you. But you don't have to like it. Like, you don't have to enjoy it while it's happening and you're sad. You're sad. You know, and when you're sad, God is sad for you. Like, he loves you so much. The thought that you have to pretend to be happy with him is a really dangerous thought.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not seeing him for who he is. You know, and I think when I talk about what makes God angry, I think that would make God angry. You know, this idea that he can't handle it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which like makes me think of this, something else that I read recently, which is that like lament is actually an act of faith, right? That without faith, we can't really lament, because to lament is to say, to believe at least that God is listening. Maybe God isn't going to do what I want God to do, but God at least hears me and is worth venting to, right? And so lament is an act of faith.
Yeah, that's important.
And I think for me, one of the first places that I started to like hear lament as a word and like think about it as a spiritual practice was in a community of folks working towards like climate justice and ecological justice. And in those spaces of justice work and advocacy, it's so easy to get focused on the like doing of the thing and like, okay, we need to push for the next thing. But you're constantly faced with disappointment. You're constantly faced with like, this is hard. And you don't win every battle. And so like lament is actually what like keeps you human in those spaces. Right.
And probably gives you the energy to keep going. Right?
Exactly. Because,
Because this is a God who also cares about these things. This is God who's also, you know, weeping for the state of the earth. Right. Yeah. I'm not alone here.
So when you think about lament, what are some of the things that you think lament offers to the church? Why is this important?
I think it's hugely important. It's hard to do.
Sure.
It's hard to get people to want to do.
Sure.
Everybody wants to sing about the happy things, right? About how it's worked out.
Yeah.
Right. They want to sing about all the wonderful things that God has done. Yeah. Right. And that's good, right? Because that's true. But not in the context of there's something we need you to do, right? To cry out in lament and say, something's wrong, God.
Yeah.
We need you. And then because you do these things, because you can do these things, because only you can do these things, you know, I think people are afraid to do that sad thing together, right? Lament is sort of seem to be like a very private thing, but and I think it would be incredible if we could lament as a larger group, you know, if we, and it would take time, right? Just like any relationship takes time to build that comfort with each other, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, just like we get support and worship with each other when we're talking about all the, reminding ourselves of the goodness of God and of how, you know, he can do anything. There's nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
And that he loves us and he's on our side, but that's good that we remind each other of that, but we can also, you know, in weeping together in lament, we can also just by standing shoulder to shoulder while we do that, just acknowledging that you're not the only one who knows that God is with you, but it's not okay. It's that validation that we bring to each other when we do communal things, you know, so and lament is really important. It's really important for us to acknowledge, you know, that there are, it is not okay, right, out there, right? And it's not been okay for a real long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't put blinders on or we won't be able to do anything about it, you know, because we have a role as his hands and feet. And if we keep, you know, staving off our own sadness and saying, no, we won't be able to see anybody else's either. And we won't be able to get involved and do anything about it or lift a finger or give a shoulder, right?
Right.
It's just, you know, it's that healthy, we need to go through a range of emotions, right?
Yeah.
You know, we need to celebrate together, we need to grieve together, we need to, you know, do life together, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's everything. That's all the ugly parts and all the pretty parts and, you know, all the uncomfortable bits, and we need to lean into that together. And that's, you know, that's a challenging thing. I'm not going to pretend that that's an easy thing to do, but I think that needs to be the goal for us as we interact with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, is just, let's lean into that uncomfortable bit together here for a minute. Like, let's talk about that.
Right.
You know, what, you know, and pray about it and it bring, you know, bring God in, invite him in. He's there anyway. Invite him in.
Yeah.
And hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I think that, in society in general, but also in the church in particular, we're so easy to be happy all the time. And we want, I wonder if part of it comes from this idea that like, well, you know, it's not very attractive to be sad.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, we want people to think this is a great place to be. And so if we're all sad all the time, people aren't going to want to come in. But actually,
I think the opposite is probably true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that there are spaces where there are people who are looking for spaces to be sad with other people.
Yeah. Well, it's like a reality check, you know? The sanctuary should be a reality check as far as, like, hey, guys, remember God? Right? Like, I know all that noise is going on out there, and we come together into the sanctuary to just go, right, okay, let's realign our perspective here. Let's remember, you know, and, you know, the truth part of worshiping in spirit and truth requires that if we are, people are sad.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, and there's always somebody, you know, you know, even when we're having, like, you know, Easter Sunday celebration, right? It's like everybody is just on 11. They're supercharged and super excited. And, you know, there's somebody in there who cannot muster up the energy to let the words come out of their mouth of celebration.
Yeah.
But being in that room will help them. And their worship is just putting their body in that space.
Yep.
Right? Their act of faith is putting their body in that space where this adoration of God is happening, and where they're going to be reminded all the things they need to be reminded, and that they're not the only one who believes it. It might help them hold on a little tighter and kind of through, right? I think we need to just acknowledge the fact that that's the case for all of us when we're in there and when we're everywhere, right? Like that everyone is going through something. And we're just all in this sort of together, right? Mm-hmm. We're all at different spots, and we're all, you know, but we've all come together to recognize that we need God and He is here with us.
Yeah.
And so we're here for each other in turn, right? For Him as an act of love toward Him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in that way, actually, I think, like, churches and faith communities have something really powerful to say to the wider culture, right? That, like, we don't have it all together,
right?
But nobody has it all together, but at least we're, like, trying to do it together.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like maybe, like, you look around our congregation on a Sunday morning and you're like, what do any of these people have in common? Except that, like, we're trying to figure this all out together.
Yeah.
And if we're not figuring all of life out together, right? We're just figuring out the nice, shiny, happy bits. Yeah. Then, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. 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 It's the messy stuff we need help with, right? It's the messy stuff we don't want to go through alone. I mean, I love that this church has, like, has Stephen ministers, right? Mm-hmm. That their whole, you know, modus operandi is just walking through the hard part. Mm-hmm. They're just there to walk through the hard part. That's their, they're not, you know, they're not getting, you know, any outside benefit other than the benefit of walking with someone through something, and knowing that you're there for them. Right. And, like, I love that we have that ministry at our church. Right. And that there's so many people, you know, being trained up in that, right. To walk through, not around, not over, not under, not, like, you know, but to go through and just be a support. It's a good model, you know. Yeah. It'd be good if everybody, actually. I remember when I first heard about the ministry, I was like, that sounds like something everybody should do. We should all take the training. It's extensive training. They go through a lot to do, you know, there's a lot of training, but what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful ministry, right? To take the time out of your life to give to someone you know is suffering, to carve out that time and sit in it with them.
Yeah.
Right? I love that, right? Because a lot of people, like, when they grieve, well, you've talked about it too, and so have I, it's experience of people just want to say something to stop it.
Yeah.
If you're hurting and they just want to give, you know, throw out some platitude or something.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to actually sit in the uncomfortable with you.
Mm.
So they just want to stop it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to see a whole group of people that want to just actually get down in the dirt and sit there with you until you're ready to get up.
Yeah.
And then they'll stand up and they'll give you their hand and they'll lift you up too. You know, like, it's a beautiful thing, you know. And, yeah, I think, like, lament plays such a huge role in our lives as Christians, you know, because it just brings us closer to Christ.
Yeah.
Everything we suffer brings us closer to Christ.
Right.
And it can bring us closer to one another too, right? And I mean, ultimately, that's what we want, right? It's all about relationship and connecting and you know, to help us grow and to help us be more impactful and to bring more people into relationship with Jesus, to bring, you know, to radiate that, you know, that life in Christ, right? That is so attractive to the hurting person.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to go in there to the hurting bit to get them.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So there's almost these like two ways of doing lament or two sort of modes that we need to do it in, which is like sort of what you were just talking about with the Stephen ministers, that it's a sort of individual personal thing, either you and God or you and maybe one other person.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also like corporate lament. And so curious, your thoughts as a worship leader, how do we bring in a corporate sense of lament, and like what does that even look like?
Oh, it's so hard because people don't want to do that with other people.
Mm.
It's like I said, right? Everybody, we want to sing about that, but we don't want to sing about the really hard stuff. Like we don't want our eyes to leak in front of other people, right? Not me personally, because obviously I have no issue with that. Everyone's seen me doing that, but I think, you know, we start, like, I try to bring that in sometimes when I can sense, you know, we're going to be talking about something that's going to be difficult for people. You know, sometimes I'll take the time in the offertory song and I'll purposely choose a song that it's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cry. Okay. I'm not going to make you sing while you cry. You can sit while you cry, because we're not quite there yet, I don't think. But I'm trying to just model in an authenticity in worship. That's sort of our thing. That's what we try to do. Just get up there and actually worship in front of everybody. Let them see, you know, leave it all on the altar and let them see that it's safe.
Yeah.
Right. You know, go first in the vulnerability. And I think we've had some success. Success is a gross word for it, but we've had some, you know, we've reached people that way. Like,
sure.
It's helped people to be able to cry together, you know, to be able to let it out and to know that it's a safe place. I mean, there's a huge difference, right? When all of a sudden for you, the sanctuary becomes a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other level than what you're able to get out of our time together in there on a Sunday morning, right? When you're able to actually like let go and trust and feel safe, you know, that's huge, right?
Yeah.
And that's a sign of that, right? When you're able to sort of feel all the feelings, even the uncomfortable ones, in that space, and just allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I try to bring it in. I'd love for us to get to the point, and I know this might sound weird, but I would love for us to be able to get to the point where we could, as a congregation, cry.
Yeah.
Sing an ugly cry.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it will not sound good, but it will be beautiful.
Yeah.
Like nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, like it. There's something so beautiful about that, about sharing and acknowledging the pain in the room, but with hope. Like it's not just getting in there and crying. It's knowing, okay, look at all of us. We are all acknowledging the truth of what we're, you know, suffering through here, but we all have that hope.
Yeah.
And we all know who God is in the midst of all of this suffering. Mm-hmm. We know who God is, and you look around and there's like 300 other people who are feeling just like you.
Yeah.
And God is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it strengthens you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope at some point we can get there, and maybe we do. I mean, we've got 4 weeks of this series. That doesn't seem like a very long time, but I mean, just over time, right?
Yeah.
The more we learn and the more we go through together, I mean, I think, you know, the next little while could potentially serve as a real push toward us, you know, experiencing that together,
mm-hmm.
you know? But leaving room for everybody to enter into it at where they're at.
Sure.
You know, because that's part of it being safe too. We wouldn't want to push anybody,
right,
you know, further than they're ready in the group. And so we're all on a journey there. So we need to leave room and be respectful in that regard too. But
you know, we're not going to force them all to cry.
Sometimes in worship, you have to be careful as a worship leader, you have to be careful that you don't want to manipulate people.
Sure.
Right. That's not the goal. You know, you want to open something up. I choose songs that maybe say difficult things in a new way.
Sure.
You know, that might help someone to see it. And that's going to maybe cause an emotional, you know, reaction, but that's just something that happens. That's like a consequence of it. But the idea is just to help you open, to help you trust, mm-hmm. right? It's not a manipulation.
No.
You know, so everybody will hear that differently.
Sure.
There's room. It's not, you know, I'm not trying, don't come in and cry because you think you have to. That's please don't do that. You know, but also don't come in and pretend you're okay. Because you think you have to. Like, I want to say that too, as a worship leader, you know? Just come as you are. That's all he requires. Come as you are.
Yeah.
You know? Because, you know, God is arranging that time in there together, right? Mm-hmm. We're all, as we prepare, he's all those little bits, and he's calling everyone to be there, and every single person in there is not there by accident.
Yeah.
And your experience is meant to be with you in that space. Bring it. Bring all of you to the space. Right? That's our job. And then God will do what God does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think for me, like when I think about my experiences of lament and of hard conversations with God, like music has often been central to that for me. I think partly because music just like speaks to your brain and body in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like you said, it allows you to hear the difficult things in mm-hmm. a new way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that like preaching doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily get at my heart in the mm-hmm. same way that maybe it gets at someone else's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, like having all of the parts of the service, like you just said, can mm-hmm. sort of facilitate this, this corporate experience that, works differently on different people,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully unifies us all in
mm-hmm.
something.
Yeah.
So if folks are listening and they're intrigued and thinking, well, okay, maybe lament is a good thing. Like, how do they get started?
Oh, my. I don't have a good answer. I would just say just go for it. because for me, it was such a natural thing for a little kid to do, right? Little kids are so just innately honest and they just do, right? But, you know, I'd say get alone. And sit in silence for a little while. That's super uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You think you have nothing to lament about. Sit quiet and don't have your phone. Don't have anything there to distract you. Sit in the silence for a little bit. And I'm sure that, you know, whatever it is that you're really struggling with, just tell God.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him you don't like this. You know, and remind yourself of his promises. Remind yourself that he he's there, but he doesn't feel like he's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to say that. It's okay, you know, everybody says that, you know, you're going to be glorified in this, but you're going to be glorified anyway, aren't you? Why do I have to go through this? why is this going to be like, you know, and let it out.
Yeah.
Let it out, right? Like God is so much bigger. Like it's not even close. He's so much bigger than everything that's going on. And he's in it with you, right?
Right.
And he knows anyway, right? We were told, right? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He knows anyway. Say it out loud so you know you told him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, so that you can know that you let it out, you know? But then always remember and give thanks for everything else.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I sat this morning, I was talking with my brother. And we were talking about lament because I was saying, I'm going to talk about this. And I was saying how you don't just stop at complaining. Like, lament is not just complaining to God. It's not venting at God and then that's it, right?
Right.
That doesn't do you any good, right? Really? And he was saying, yeah, right? Like you've got to remember and give thanks then, right? You end with giving thanks to God for who he is and for all that he's done. And he started listing all my things. And I was like, yeah. And he just kept going. And I was like, right. Yeah. Maybe my list wasn't that long when I prayed my prayer, but yeah, you're right. All those things too. Right? Like, there's so many things if you start thinking about it, right, that we have to thank God for. And just make sure you end there. Make sure you get back to that and end there so that you're not stuck.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to get stuck in it.
Yeah.
You need to remember, right? All mm-hmm. the things he's done before, he'll do again. He'll, mm-hmm. you know, he's been there for you before. You know, you never saw the answer coming and then there it was, right?
Yeah.
It's happened before and he'll do it again.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath, leave it at his feet, and then go do whatever you can do about it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just try it.
Right.
Just speak the words out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only place I mean, that's what I can think to start.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Right. Yeah. I think it, in some ways, it's as simple like, as just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, lament, it's this like word that, I think you said this before, that
sounds mystical.
Sort of, yeah. It feels really mystical, but it's like, it's actually just like having a conversation.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would add to that, that like lament isn't like a new thing, right? Like lament is found all over scripture, yeah. right? And yeah. so like, if you're struggling to figure out like, okay, what do I say? Or like, how does this work? Just like read your Bible,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a whole book called mm-hmm. Lamentations. Mm-hmm. That's just like five chapters of Jeremiah complaining mm-hmm. to God about things. So like, pick that up, do that.
Yeah. And if you're looking for permission, there's the shortest verse ever, right? Jesus wept.
Yeah.
He modeled it for us. You can weep too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And we, the Psalms, so like Rob did this whole series this summer on the Psalms, and a lot of the Psalms are like, you know, happy and like praise God for this thing. But like, yeah, like half of them are like, God, this actually sucks.
Yo, and like, some of them are really, really graphic and like, wow, expressing a lot of anger and rage, right? Like they're like, wow.
Yeah.
There's one about bashing heads on a rock and
right.
like, whoa, if that's okay, surely, you know,
yeah.
I can discuss my discomfort with my current situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like pick up your Bible.
Yeah.
Flip it open. There's somebody who's upset about something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Type into Google imprecatory Psalms. You'll get lots of help.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's easy to know which ones to look at and pray them out.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, they're a good template.
Yeah, definitely. Good. Well, thank you so much, Libby. This has been a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just really helpful reminder that we can be honest.
Yes, yes.
With God and with each other.
Yeah.
And that actually that's human.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So thank Absolutely. You so much.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in to this episode of Trinity Talks. I hope that you have found something helpful in this. And yeah, you can walk away this week feeling more able to share your pain and your hurt and your anger, hopefully with another person, but at least with God. Hmm. And we'll see you next week.